Hello, you're listening to The Joys of Teaching Literature. My name's Scott, and we're here talking about all things high school English. So trying to think about ways to make your life easier, where you're not taking work home, you're maximizing your amount of time in school so that you don't have to bring anything home, and trying to make life as fun as possible when you're in the classroom. And that's really the focus of our conversation today. If you want to know more about me, my website's theteachersworkshop.com. I offer online professional development for high school English teachers. In the course, you can download a lot of material that I teach in class. You can look at my projects that I use. I actually have a course for all teachers. So if you want to sort of think about classroom management and your time out of the classroom, even if you're a first-year teacher, it's a great sort of course just to get your feet wet in all the sort of lessons that I've learned about teaching over the years. And that's really why I started offering courses, because I wanted to offer new teachers, say in their first 5 years of teaching or so, an opportunity to hear from somebody who's been around for a while, because I feel like professional development doesn't really do that. It's a lot of trendy kind of stuff and stuff that applies to, people who have been out of the classroom for a while and just sort of theoretical stuff, philosophical stuff. But I wanted to create a course that was very hands-on, that's like, I do this when I have this problem in the class, or over the years I've learned that this works better, from handing papers back to all the different odds and ends of being a teacher. But obviously the second course I offer is specifically for high school English teachers. And so that's, you can look that up on theteachersworkshop.com if you're interested in furthering your professional development as a person, as a teacher. So that's what we're sort of talking about today, is I think one of the really, really, really fun parts of what we do. And it's something that I know I have to remind myself of to do, because it's just easy to fall into a habit of literary analysis. And so our topic is creative writing. So I was like getting into it, but I didn't say it. Creative writing, the title of this one's Creative Writing, the Be-All and End-All. And that's sort of the objective of what I'm talking about, because I think over the years I teach mostly novels. I mean, I do poetry, I do short fiction, I'll do essays. I have projects that involve nonfiction. And of course, creative writing can include nonfiction as well. But I think that, over the years, I think early on, and I don't know if I was just approaching it differently or I just had a different attitude about it, because I do think the attitude that we bring to this, sort of writing style, if you want to call it genre, is important. Because I think I would just say, we're going to write a poem and that was it. Or, let's go write a short story, have fun. It's really fun, isn't it? But now I have an approach where it's like, hey, this is cool, right? Like, first of all, I'm going to try to get you published in the literary magazine at our school. And so that's kind of interesting to a lot of them. It's like, I can appear in a magazine that everybody will see. When I write, maybe I'll think about that. And I can think about the fact that I have an audience. I'm not just writing for myself and it's just a private thing that just a bunch of my feelings I'm going to throw away. But it's something that I can sort of think about while I'm writing. I can craft it and sort of shape it. And if I have stick and you can have stanza, I tell them, I'm like, look, you just learned about stanzas and line breaks and enjambment and caesura and, onomatopoeia. It's always a fun one. Metonymy, synecdoche, personification, metaphor, right? Especially symbols, right? They're so easy. Similes too are super easy. You just say this is like that. And so how do you help we talk about the sort of philosophy of what the point of literature is at the beginning of the year. And so this is like, remember when we have that conversation about how great and important literature is? Well, like, wouldn't you rather write something that where you're in complete control of everything and just have fun with it? And I tell them, you can write, and they'll say, well, what do we write about? I'm like, you can write about anything, because that's always the first question. What do I write about? What do you mean write a poem? What's this? They're so used to getting a prompt, right? They're so used to the teacher saying, answer this question, that they're not used to like a teacher saying, you have complete freedom to say whatever you want. Like, there is no question. There is no prompt. I've done the prompt thing too. And I used to have creative writing course as an elective. And even in my regular English classes, you can always say, like, I want you to write a poem about this, or I want you to sort of do this. But sometimes just giving them absolute freedom, and then you just say that to them, say, hey, you can practice all the literary, you can do all play with the language all you want, have fun with it, it's not a big deal. you know, and I think for the most part, they're so worried about the grade that they're like, well, what do you, like, what's the rubric for this? Think about that. What's the rubric for this? You know, no, it's like there's no rubric. You write creatively. You tell about an experience. You take a little moment for your life that represents something greater than what it just sort of was in that moment. Something you, when you look back on it, it has meaning. And then it's just a great story. You know, you take just a great story from your life. Think about all the things you've been through, small and large. And how do you see it now? Is it funny to you? Is it sad to you? What have you learned from it? And so the poem is about, you know, exploring all of those emotions. But really, I try not to do too much explaining other than just like you can say what you want. And if you're writing a short story, you can create whatever character you want to create. They don't have to be like you. You know, they can be a different age and they have a weird job and they have six brothers or, you know, they're in a dead-end job or they're a doctor and they're really, like, you know, traveling around the world and saving people. I don't know. You know, they're running a factory. They're whatever. You know, they're in charge of technology for a new app. I'm just making stuff up, right? You can create a story about anyone, anywhere, in any time period. If you want to go back in history and write a story about that person. We should really just let these kids have fun more often. You know, they're so obsessed with getting the right answer, with their grades, with standardized, all the standardized tests. Oh my gosh, there's like, I feel like every couple of weeks, I'm like, oh, what standardized test are they worried about next? Or registering for this and getting ready for that. And, you know, they want to come into our class and just be excited, right? And creative writing is the thing that should get them excited. And what I've learned too is it's not one or the other. You don't have to say, oh, we're only doing literary analysis for this unit or writing a short story, right? You don't have to like give them the option. You can have them do both if you really want to sort of have a, or even just shorten, you know, the literary analysis essay that they're going to write. Maybe it's one pager, you know, you say it's one page double spaced or one page single spaced, something like that. Where it's really short and you're like, get to the point, get to your best arguments about this novel, and then we're going to do this other creative thing. So they're not writing a 3-5 page long essay or spending multiple periods on this literary analysis. Maybe you spend one period on literary analysis. And, you know, a lot of my literary analysis, they're bringing a bunch of their notes into class, you know, and it's all about just do the best you can in 45 minutes. Like when I give you a grade, I know that I'm giving you 45 minutes in class to write this. I'm aware of that. I'm taking that into consideration when I grade your essay. And then you can, you know, say if you normally spend 2 or 3 days on or even a week on a piece of writing, you know, now you can spend that doing something fun, right? And so you're sort of getting them to prioritize the arguments that they want to make about the novel, or you can combine, I'm going to get to a list of different creative activities that you can do, but you can combine sort of traditional creative nonfiction, which is just essay in the sense of a non-academic essay. It's a piece of writing on a topic. And so the essay is a focus on that topic and not on the novel itself. So sometimes I'll say, hey, you know, write an introductory paragraph about this novel, and then once you get to the idea, then you can explore that idea, you know, you may be using other sources, maybe not, maybe you're just writing about this personal experience that you had or whatever. It can be completely open, right? So you can kind of combine assignments in that way. So you could either have a separate literary analysis or a separate sort of creative nonfiction where you're like, all right, you're going to write an essay on this novel, and then tomorrow we're going to write an essay on the topic that, you know, whatever topic that you wrote about on your novel, you're just going to write an essay about that. And it has nothing, you're not going to mention the novel, you're not going to say anything about the novel. You're just going to explore that topic and just talk freely and openly and free write about this one idea. It's family, it's violence, it's, you know, colonialism, it's fear, you know, some psychological thing. You know, and then they can bring in their understanding of pop culture or history or other novels that they read. However they want to write it, it's up to them. But I think giving them absolute freedom to say what they want to say is important for us to just back off. You know, it's over the years I learned that they're more passionate, more invested, and more committed to the task if they feel like it's something that's not just tell me what you think about this piece of literature. Of course, that's what we're, you know, of course that's maybe the bulk of what we do, and there's a value to that. That's sort of what I'm talking about every week when I come into this podcast, is the value of interpreting literature. And of course, we're dealing with young, very, very young writers, so we're not going to get, you know, little Shakespeare's poking their head out, but you never know, you know, that you're one of your students. They think about Faulkner. Think about the way Faulkner wrote. You know, if one of his high school teachers would have read that, they'd be like, you know, maybe you want to be an engineer, kid. You know, or maybe you should go to be a doctor or a nurse or something. But maybe writing's not for you because it sounded kind of wild and freewheeling and crazy. The stream of consciousness didn't make much sense sometimes. But yet it's this wonderful, wonderful, I mean, Faulkner's amazing writer. And so when you think about the different writers that didn't fit into some, you know, sense of a traditional thing, you know, do we have these students that just want to speak the way they think? And that's what the greatest writers have done. They think and then they write it down. And sometimes that makes sense. And sometimes like Virginia Woolf's writing in these fragments and she's all over the place, but it's wonderful because she's just writing down what's in her brain. And so the most genius writers of all time have really embraced this idea that you just write down what you think. And we got to do that more often, right? We could have them write journals. I have a longer list of different activities that we can do. But I can't help but think that a lot of my students recently, you know, I think they used to, again, for whatever reason, because it's my approach or because maybe because the world they live in, I'm not sure, you know, they really take a more serious interest in creative writing. You know, I think they're sort of excited about it. I think they're excited to just not, again, have all those rules of a traditional essay. Where they have to worry about the rubric and, oh my gosh, how many quotes do I have to have? And am I integrating my quotes correctly? Do I have a topic sentence? And all these things that they're worrying about, introductions, conclusions, right? All these different moving parts of a structured essay. This way, that it's just like, hey, there's no rules. You don't have to worry about an introduction. Just tell me about your character. Put them in a situation that I'm excited to sort of learn about. Make it suspenseful, you know, give me some foreshadowing. All that stuff that we're covering in class about what makes literature literature, we're just asking them to do it themselves and to practice it, right? But I do think that a lot of their interest in fiction is because they're surrounded by stories all the time now. It might be a quick online video or like a TikTok or some kind of reel. I don't even know the terms anymore on social media websites where people are telling stories about themselves, these experiences that they go through. And that vlog is basically what that is, right? So kids, I think, are really interested in just everyday experiences from people that are watching on YouTube. And that makes them want to tell their own story, I think. And they see other people going viral and they're like, oh, if I just tell stories about myself, like I can, or if I'm funny and I comment about something I watched or something, right? I think about how many radio shows or podcasts or just people kind of joking about the world and making sense of politics and, right? It's this bigger conversation that's going on, and so they want to be a part of that world, and so we should just let them go, let them be a part of it, and see what they come up with, you know. Even images that they encounter online, there's just so many different things that make them, I think, want to tell their own story, and to hear other people's stories too. You think about a meme, you know, a meme has got this witty aphorism to it, right? It's got this really beautiful way of expressing something that's short and contains truth, and that's usually very funny, right? And so they're surrounded by this all the time. I was driving my car. And I shouldn't have been looking at down at my Amazon Music, but that's actually why I have it on, because I can just say, hey, Alexa, play whatever. And I noticed that it had the lyrics to the songs. So they're living that world too. You know, I remember when I was a kid, it was, you know, these little booklets. And actually, to save money, I bought tapes a lot. I wasn't even a CD guy back in the 90s because I was just obsessed with getting as much music as possible. So I'm like, if I can, you know, pay half price for this album, I'm going to do it so I can get more albums. But so I remember sort of unfolding these little flyer, you know, these little things with the lyrics inside to read the lyrics. It was a little bit more work than just, say, Googling it or looking on an app and finding it. So they're surrounded by poetry, by the words of the songs, and it's all very easily accessible. And you think about it, I remember, like, even I was like 1-800-MUSIC-NOW, I think. I don't know why it's at the top of my head, but I used to like call and just like listen to all these different songs and think if I wanted to buy the album, you could like buy it by calling on the phone. And now you can just like plug in literally any song, any album. I have conversations with music with my kids. And they're talking about Moody, Dire Straits and Moody Blues and all these different bands. so it's just amazing. Like Towns Van Zandt, this one student's talking about Towns Van Zandt. I'm like, how do you know that? Or Angel from Montgomery, this one song that I thought was like this classic nobody knew about. And yeah, so they're able to see like all of these lyrics and all these songs. And so I think they're sort of immersed in that world. And so, yeah. And then when you think about it, a lot of these kids have been reading since they were really young, four, 5, 6 years old. And so they've been reading so much, they're ready to write, you know? And I think maybe they'll be truly ready to write and be a great writer maybe sometime in their 30s or 40s or something. I don't know. But either way, it's a valuable activity to just sit down and write. And I think after reading their whole life, they're ready to go from, you know, consuming stories to creating them. I think I actually had this one assignment when I was teaching creative writing, where I was like, okay, so we're going to just start this poetry unit with, a poem about, we'll say like, if you don't have any ideas for a poem, just write it about a birthday party. Yeah. And so, but I said, play around with as many sounds as you can, literally like assonance, consonants, rhyme, slant rhyme, whatever. Just play with sounds as much as possible. I want you to have as many, I teach them all the literary techniques that they need to know. And it's just like, I want you to pack this poem with just, and I don't care about the meaning or what you're saying. I just want you to pack it with as much figurative language as possible, and similes and parallel structure and all the different things I teach them. So they learn right away. It's way more fun to create a metaphor and write a metaphor than it is to be on the receiving end of it and interpreting it. Our students have been making meaning for so long, now it's their turn to conjure up a world entirely their own. When they write creatively, they realize a simile is a deliberate thing, right? It's not like an accident. Like symbolism can be accidental, right? And it can be wonderful when it's accidental. You're just telling the story, and those details of the story become symbols because the reader gives them meaning. But a simile, when they write a simile, a writer's not messing around. Like they're saying, this is like that because I want to help you understand it. And this is what I'm expressing about my feeling through making this comparison. That's another sort of exercise that you can do. And what they learn is that just like you would, if you were an art teacher or a music teacher, you start with these basics, right? And that what you're showing them is that talent, like true talent as a writer, comes from practice and messing around, trying things out and then doing something else, seeing what works and what doesn't, letting people read your writing and react to it and all those things. Just like you would play a piece of music and have somebody react to it and give you feedback, writing works the same way, right? You got to try it out. And if it sounds bad, you go back to the drawing board and you try again until somebody says, oh, that's really nice. Just like they would say it if you're playing violin or piano or anything like that. They go in a way, what they're doing is expressing their understanding of their culture and their experiences. That's what we want them to do as writers, right? That's what makes a great writer. It's not just, I read this thing and I think this. It's they have their own independent thoughts about what they experience, and they're creating a world that expresses that understanding. And with creative writing, when you think about it, they're going from just being in the passenger seat of life, where somebody else is driving them around and they're looking at things and they're understanding what they're looking at, and the driver is saying, look at this and look at that, and they're like a tour guide, right, explaining the reality to the person next to them. But that person has no control over where they go, where they end up. And so with creative writing, they're the ones in the driver's seat because they can make all the choices for themselves about what it is that they're looking at. And if they don't like what they're looking at, they can go drive somewhere else and create another image or tell another story. All right, so I'm just going to take you through the different genres that students can write creatively. The first one I mentioned a lot is poetry. That's obviously something quick that they can do in class, but a lot of the times my students will come and say, hey, you mind if I take this home and finish it? Of course, that's a great place to finish a poem. And it's not really homework, right? It's like something that they just enjoy doing is writing poetry. And I also mentioned that I always tell them that I'm going to submit their poems unless they tell me privately that they don't want me to submit their poem. to the literary the school's literary magazine. So they write it knowing that they might have an audience. It's a different approach. When you're writing and you think that no one's reading it, it's not very good because it's just for you and it's this personal thing. But you make it a little bit better knowing that somebody else will write it, and you're mindful of what they're going to, you want it to be clear and something that they, like a narrative, you want there to be a little bit of a narrative and that sort of thing. Of course, it's really good to kind of write, like I was just reading a Miri Baraka poem, Nikki Giovanni poem today in class, like that kind of writing's great too, where you're just sort of off on a tangent and it's like digresses, like a T.S. Eliot sort of goes all over the place with his images, Wall Stevens, you know, that sort of thing. But, that has value too, but you know, even they obviously knew that they had an audience that they were writing for. So that's important. I emphasize that writing can be personal and authentic, but also ultimately done for somebody else. That's the point, right? Yeah, and that's why this is valuable too, because you want the writing to go somewhere. And that's, I think, what makes it cool too, is they can share a poem. If they're really proud of it, they can put it on Facebook, right? They can like have somebody else look and they can text it to somebody else, right? Just like we used to write notes. Whereas an essay on a novel, they're not going to be really excited to show that to somebody else, right? They're only interested in what we have to say about it. So short stories is the next one. I have a little activity where I have them write magical realism. I have a couple of novels where I do that, but then I also do really short fiction that sometimes has magical realism. So that's really fun because I'm really like, when I say write what you want, magical realism, you can literally make anything happen, even if it's impossible. And that's kind of the essence of it, is you kind of forcing them to write something that's totally ridiculous. So that can be really funny. I can't even begin to tell you all the different things that they wrote about. It's so funny. Writing some fiction or flash fiction can also be really quick. You know, it's a little paragraph or two paragraphs, something like that. That can be fun. They're also easy to share to the rest of the class if you want to share some of their work with the rest of the class. And then the other kind of assignment you can give this is that's important and valuable. Instead of interpreting a writer's style and why they're making certain choices as a writer, you tell them to write in the style of that writer. So write a short story like James Joyce would write one of his short stories. Or if it's, you know, Virginia Woolf short story. What's the one that I do? Together and Apart, it's called. I think I've done this before. Yeah, I give them Together and Apart. It's very straightforward how the narrative mode is in the third person. It's switching points of view between the two different characters. They just met each other. And so then I say, hey, let's write a short story that does this, where there's two characters, third person, but it switches points of view. And that's awesome and a lot of fun. Next one is podcasts. So that's spontaneous. It's fun. It doesn't have to be really planned out. Maybe they have an introduction that they write down on a piece of paper so they can read it when they start the podcast, a conclusion, something like that. But there's just so many possibilities. They can do interviews with that. They can just record a conversation between four or five people on a certain topic. That they choose. They can do an independent project on a topic of choice. That's always really fun. I enjoy listening to those too. I've actually had students interpret literature when it was the pandemic. I had them record their responses to the literature. Some of them did 2 or 3 minutes. Some of them did like 8 or 9 or 10 minutes where they just going off on a tangent about their interpretation of a book. So that was really fun. When I say the word podcast, I don't mean to publish it online because online is a scary place with people who are very critical and judgmental of things that people say, and can be brutal. But at the same time, I've heard podcasts done by students that are wonderful and great. I just don't go that route. They can do it if they want, but I don't encourage them to do it. And I like the spontaneity of it too. All right, so video essays is the next kind of creative writing. To make a video essay, students basically write the essay first. You know, it's not going to be literary analysis here. It can be just on an essay as a piece of writing on a topic. So then after they write it, they record their reading of an essay. They record the reading of their essay. And that will function as a voiceover for video clips and images that correspond to the words that they're speaking. If you've ever seen Explained on Netflix, it kind of takes on that style. There's tons, obviously. Video poetry isn't just like a video essay, but you're just reading a poem, but maybe it's a poem they wrote themselves, or it can be one time I gave this assignment where I was like, I go to poetryfoundation.org, find a great poem, you know, spend some time just reading poetry, find your favorite one, record a reading of it, and then put images and videos to correspond to that reading. It can be fun and quick. It doesn't have to be professional, but these phones they have now can do amazing things. So, and then sometimes if you look at the more professional video poems online, I did another podcast on this. So if you go to my blog, you can find a bunch of links to different websites that have video poetry. Sometimes those video poems will have light background music. Bend Sound is a website that has royalty-free music. You can just download, kind of lower the volume of it so you can still hear the poem. So that's always really fun too. Then there's short films. So short films, I usually do this with my unit I usually do Dubliners with a bunch of other poetry now. I just do certain selections. I don't do the whole book anymore. But what I had them do with that is create a film adaptation of one of the short stories in Dubliner. So, I teach filmmaking, and I say the same thing. I have an adaptation assignment in that course, and the thing that I talk about there is like you're just taking the basics. You're taking like the character. It could even just be a character. You can do a prequel, a sequel. You're just taking a character, you know, one scene even in a movie or a novel or a play, and you're updating it. You're placing it in the current year. With technology, a lot of the stories we don't have technology in them, right? So I'm like, what if this character had a cell phone and they were on Instagram? You know, what would their text be like? What would their posts be like? Like, how would that be a part of their life? Something like that. There's a story, Eveline, where she's dating this sailor and it's like she's like thinking about leaving with him on this boat, and it's like this really dramatic ending. So my students turned it into like this kid leaving for college, and like, are they going to stay together? You know, it was brilliant. Another one called An Encounter, where these kids cut school. So my kids like cut school. They didn't cut school. They left school, went downtown, which is only a block or two away, so they were safe. The kids were in cutting school, went to this burrito place and got a burrito. And the story that they shot was similar to the story in An Encounter. It was brilliant again. A Little Cloud of these two guys that went to school together that are sort of catching up. And one's got a family. The other guy's writer for this famous news journal. And so he travels all around to different places telling stories about all the women he's been with. And one guy's like a family man. So it's like this sort of, you know, these two characters sort of went different paths in life. And so you can imagine, like, you know, how my students sort of ran away with that. Sort of updating the stories for, you know, what would that guy sound like today? Like, what would his college experience be like, or where would he be working, and that kind of thing. So that can always be really fun to do a short film like that. Of course, they can, again, you don't have to have any rules. You're just like, you're making a short film, like create a storyline. You know, what's the dialogue? Who are your characters? Just, you don't have to have all these rules. Creative nonfiction is another one. So in this, I kind of talked about this already, but sometimes here it's good to use models. There's the Best American Essays series, or every year they come up with the Best American Essays. I was actually just thumbing through the Best American Essays of the last 100 years, or I think it was the 20th century actually. Yeah, because it stopped in like 1997 or something like that. So that's, you're right. So you pick a couple selections there. You're like, this is an essay. This is what it sounds like. And then they can go and just pick a topic of choice. Even if you just give them titles of essays, it's like, okay, look, here are the titles of the essays. This is what these essays are about. I want you to pick something that's like, do something similar where you have a topic, you know, a title of something, an idea, and you just go and just have fun with it. Just, you know, write an essay without all the quotes from novels, and, you know, you don't have to have citations for everything, right? You just write on a topic. And they're young enough where that's something that they would love to do, and they always do love it. And actually, I've had them had one unit where I did satirical essays from The Spectator and The Tatler. That was really fun. I always think about bringing that back because it's something that I did in college. But I kind of water it down, and I just have a few on taxes and the fashion and advertising. They cover all these kind of topics, and they create these personas that write letters to the editor, And they're like the John Stewarts of the 1700s. It's amazing. So I'd be like, all right, let's just like, that was fun. You know, for a couple of days, we'll just do that. And then for a week, we'll do a whole unit where they work in groups to create like a news broadcast, Saturday Night Live skit or whatever. So I'll show them a couple of different pieces of satire and they can create a persona, that sort of thing, or just do a short story that's satirical. One group did a website that was satirical, so that was a really great project. This is making me want to do it again because I haven't done it in a couple of years. But anyway, so that's creative nonfiction. And there's philosophy, which I try to get them to say, it's like, all right, you're not going to be a philosopher as the traditional sense of the word, but you're going to philosophize about your life, right? Just think about it. You know, you can have some kind of open-ended question about happiness, joy, just life, time, you know, the nature of time or being and or identity, something like that. You're going to write an essay on identity. What does that mean? Something like that. And so it's open-ended. It's fun. It's light. They're just answering the question. They don't have to use any other text to answer the question. They're just exploring it on their own. And in a way, philosophy is there's no right answer. You know, they're just trying to make sense of anything and everything. All right, the next one's graphic organizers. Of course, this is not really creative writing. Writing is words and letters, right? But graphic organizers can be very creative and expressive. Visuals are an important part of modern media when you think about it, right? If you're going to watch a documentary or any kind of short YouTube informational clip, whatever, or take a course online, whatever. I mean, we're always sort of confronting visuals when we're trying to understand something, whether it's graph or whatever it might be. Or if it's just the image of a character, you know, if they create a one-pager, sketch notes, mind maps. A lot of our students are very artistic and very visual in the way that they understand things. And so it's not creative writing, but it's creative, right? And they can try to organize their thoughts in a logical way. It's another sort of fun activity that opens up possibilities for how they can express themselves. So the next one is journals. That's just right. I had a couple of teachers do that in my time. I liked it. You know, I think all the way back to elementary school, I would just tell stories. And then as I got older, I just liked telling stories. I would just think about the world, my relationships, music, movies, my experiences, my friendships, you know, all these different things. I would just try to make sense of them in writing. And why not have that in school? You know, it's not, and how many kids are going to actually with technology now, right? And social media as a distraction, how many kids are actually going to write and just explore writing unless they had a teacher tell them to do that. And I had teachers tell me to do that. And so that's why I did just write and I just enjoyed writing. Obviously, I'm still doing it to this day. I'm just like writing and telling about my life as a teacher. And so it's obviously something where my teachers inspired me to want to express myself and tell stories about, you know, my time in the classroom and my life or whatever. And this is my weird version of doing that. But I think we need to have a teacher that will do that and just say, hey, write, you know, and that's it. That's the only expectation. And they usually will think and tell stories and just have fun with it. All right, so the last one is skits. So short skits can be funny and memorable. I'm thinking about this one. I think I did this with Dubliners too. And what was it? In The Mother, I think it was. The guy's putting on this concert. Her daughter was in the concert and he didn't pay her. And so she owed this money and she was making this big thing about it. And so their skit, like, right, they did like a sort of adaptation where it was loosely based on the plot, was that the mother comes in guns blazing looking for the money. I'm like, I think I like laughed so hard I cried when the student came in because she was like really quiet and intelligent student. And she was just like, all right, where's my money? You know, comes in, it's like swings the door open, comes out from the hallway, just swings the door open with a fake gun in her finger, you know, that kind of thing. It was just hilarious. I couldn't stop laughing. So that's something, instead of a short film, obviously, if they're not good with technology, and that's just a lot when you're sharing files and shooting and stuff like that, and you got to get good light and good audio, you know, shooting a film can, and in the course that I teach online, I kind of go into some of the more, the details about, you know, how to teach short film in your English class. so I won't go into all the details, but you know, that's something that's a little bit, it's not easy in the sense that a lot of our kids, I think, thinking about how kids have changed over the years, I think they like creative writing, but I don't think they like to perform as much as they used to. But that's still something, just, you know, over the years, I try certain things and come back to it, and sometimes it surprises me what they're capable of. And sometimes it's just like anything else. Sometimes you have a really great visual artist and they have the time to shine because they're helping make a poster. And sometimes you get those theater kids, and you get one or two of those kids in the different groups that you assign, a group of five or six or whatever. And that's their time to shine. You know, like, we're going to act, you know, I can do that. And they help everybody else, you know, kind of get into it. And there's always a leader for all the different types of creative expressions that we make available to them. You know, I think the challenges are, and that's all I got. And so I'm just going to wrap it up by saying, you know, of course, like anything else, it's just, I think, hard to find time. You know, that's my challenge. Like, what am I going to find 2 or 3 days to, you know, give them the time to write the script or to write the short story or whatever. I don't like giving homework, so you always have to find time in class. And then you're like, all right, well, what am I going to not do in this unit if I give them time to write creatively? But I'm telling you from my experience, it's just so worth it every time. Not 100%, like anything else, not 100% of the kids will get into it and love it. And there's going to be kids that are just writing about how it's raining outside and how the Giants lost or whatever. But there will be kids that really do get into it and love it, and they'll never forget it. And I remember I had a sonnet competition, like let's have a competition to see who can write the best sonnet. So I had to like follow all the rules of the sonnet. I had like a certificate. I usually go to like the dollar store and buy like a book light or something, you know, some kind of fun little gag gift for the person who wins. There's a vote, and everybody votes on who's the best sonnet. And that's like, you know, that stuff, when they see you like 10 years later, 20 years later, you're like, hey, Mr. Cameron, remember when I won the poetry competition? You know, that's the thing they're going to remember. They're not going to remember anything else. Are these sort of memorable moments where they had fun, they can really express themselves, laugh at their attempt at it. You know, they don't have to be, like I said, they don't have to be a little Shakespeare coming out and writing this amazing masterpiece poem. But that's the standard that I set. It's like, hey, well, we're just going to try this out. You know, just have fun with it. Don't worry about it. Just create interesting characters. You know, I talk about backstories and different things. And and I think they're also sometimes hard to grade. You're like, how do I not give everything an A? That kind of thing. But that's all stuff we can always just work out, you know, and it doesn't matter. It's not something we're going to be only doing creative writing all year long. But you can give an honest grade there and, you know, grade it on effort or something like that. But and it's a group work grade, so maybe like weight it less, you know, so it's not an actual official essay grade. It's just like a class, since it's done in class, you could say it's a classwork grade, something like that. So that's always a challenge, is figuring out like how to grade it, or, you know, you don't have a rubric for creative writing, right? It's just about having fun and not being rulesy, you know what I mean? Yeah, we want them to know, too, the last sort of message, right, is that we want them to know that it's easy to be a critic, right, where you're just like, that's terrible, you know, that sucks, but it takes real courage, right, an explosive imagination to be a creator, and that's what we really want them to remember, is that they're in charge of their ideas, and we want them to have ideas and embrace them and be proud of them, so that's all I got. Thanks for listening. If you enjoy listening, please leave a review wherever you get your podcast. Thank you.